from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, this is Forum. I'm Scott Schaefer, in today for Michael Krasny. In our first hour, shakeup in the public radio world. NPR announced Friday that it was pulling the plug on the daily call-in show Talk of the Nation and launching an expanded midday news magazine in collaboration with WBUR in Boston. Talk of the Nation has been an NPR staple for more than two decades, and its cancellation has listeners and media critics questioning the move and wondering what it says about NPR's future. We'll talk with NPR's chief content officer about the decision and with KQED's CEO John Boland as well. Changes at NPR and the future of public radio. We'll get started with Forum right after this. And welcome once again to Forum. I'm Scott Schaefer, in today for Michael Krasny. Well, for the past 21 years, at 11 a.m. Monday through Thursday, KQED listeners have tuned into NPR's Talk of the Nation, 2 hours of conversation about an eclectic array of topics, ranging from news and politics to the arts, culture, technology, pretty much you name it. But NPR announced Friday that the show, hosted by Neil Conan, will go silent at the end of June. It'll be replaced by a 2-hour version of the news magazine Here and Now, produced by NPR affiliate WBUR in Boston. News of Talk of the Nation's cancellation stunned regular listeners, and to be honest, many of us here at KQED as well. So this hour, we're going to dig into it a bit, the thinking behind its cancellation, the pros and cons of NPR collaborating with a member station on something like this, and what it says about the state of media in general and public radio in particular. So we begin with NPR's chief content officer, Kinsey Wilson, who joins us from Washington. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
And also with me here in the studio, John Boland, CEO of KQED Public Media. Good to have you as well.
Good morning.
Kinsey, let me begin with you, if we can. You were quoted in one of the articles I read saying that Talk of the Nation is at the top of its game, that there is no real indication of dissatisfaction from listeners. So why cancel it now? It has a big audience and seems to be doing well, at least in this market here in the Bay Area.
You know, Talk of the Nation in many ways set the standard for call-in talk radio over the years. I mean, they established the form in many respects for public radio. And over the years, really became a model for stations who, over time, have built a number of very successful call-in talk radio shows along the model of Forum, and as you know, the kind of success you've enjoyed in the Bay Area. Some of them have attracted a national audience, some of them are strictly local, but there is, compared to when Talk of the Nation started 21 years ago, a relative abundance of these kinds of programs available across public radio now. There is not nearly as much in the way of what we call news magazine format style shows along the lines of All Things Considered and Morning Edition. And part of the effort here is to bridge those two dominant shows, those drive time shows, and make sure that in an era when people are expecting to be able to hear and tune in and read and listen to news really on their schedule, whatever time frame they want, that we're providing as much coverage as we can across the entire day.
So is Here and Now going to be more like All Things Considered and Morning Edition, more produced pieces? Is that the idea? Because many of the people here in the Bay Area haven't heard the program. We don't carry it here at NPR, at KQED currently.
Right. I would describe it as a bit of a hybrid. I mean, we are going to borrow much of what we've learned from middle-of-the-day talk programming, which is that people have an appetite for a somewhat more extended discussion of a particular topic, and combine that with the newsiness and the currency that we're able to bring to Morning Edition and All Things Considered. You know, the contrast would be, say, on Morning Edition, we might air 8 or 9 national pieces in the course of an hour. Here and Now might air 4 or 5 and go a little deeper. Most of them would be produced two-way conversations between a host and somebody who, you know, is an expert in a particular field. Say, in contrast to talk, which might treat a subject for 20, 30 sometimes even 60 minutes at a time.
Yeah. And John Boland, what have you been hearing, if anything, from listeners and donors and anyone else you've been talking with over the past year or two about their satisfaction or lack thereof with Talk of the Nation?
Well, I don't know that we've had a lot of specific comments and with, you know, people not knowing that that this was coming. You know, the show is obviously popular on KQED. We got a lot of positive comments. Neil's been out to visit the Bay Area and talked with KQED listeners directly.
Neil Conan, the host.
Yes. But otherwise, no, nothing specific. And obviously, since the announcement late last week, we've had, you know, listeners who are, you know, followers of the show expressing disappointment or concern. But no show lasts forever. And what we're really focused on now is hearing from listeners about what they would like to hear in those time slots.
And what are you hearing?
We're hearing very little so far.
So, it's still...
so we would actually welcome recommendations, particularly, you know, at that hour of the day. It's 11 o'clock. The show, Talk of the Nation, was running from 2 to 4 on the East Coast, but 11 to 1 here. So it's a very different time frame, and it's right around the lunch hour. And we're interested in what listeners in the Bay Area would most value at that time of the day. Is it a live call-in show like Forum? Talk Forum and Talk of the Nation had quite a bit in common in that regard, or is it another kind of programming?
And Kinsey Wilson, just to verify, this is not an April Fool's joke, right?
No, that's why we announced it last Friday.
Is that right? Did you think about that?
We did think about that, actually. Yeah.
So, you know, several years ago, there was this program, Day to Day, which was produced out of NPR West, which was more of a magazine-y kind of a show with more produced pieces, sort of what I'm hearing here and now is going to be like. And that was canceled. I mean, what did you learn from that experience? And what, if any, flags does it raise as you go into this new endeavor?
It's a really instructive example. I was just looking back, and after about a five-year run, Day to Day had worked itself to a place where it had an audience of about 1.8 million and was carried by on about 186 stations. Here and Now is currently carried on about 182 stations. So, and neither of those is sufficient to really get to a level of long-term sustainability in public radio. You need to be carried more broadly, reaching, you know, ideally 60, 70, 80, 90% of the country in order to be able to financially sustain programs like that. The difficulty that Day to Day had was it started from scratch and had to build carriage across the country one station at a time. And program schedules are hard to change, and it you have to make the case station by station, and it can take a decade or more to get a show to 300, or as in the case of Talk of the Nation now after 20 years, 400 stations across the country.
No, excuse me. I know you've said that this is not about money. Is that accurate? There was no budgetary consideration in all this?
The budgetary considerations were minor and tactical. This was not driven by budgetary considerations. It does give us an opportunity to shift some of the risk and hopefully eventually the reward and share it with the member station so that it doesn't fall entirely on NPR as it did with Day to Day.
What does that mean, share the risk?
We're both making investments in this, and in this case, WBUR is making the lion's share of the investment in sustaining the show. And eventually, if we get it to sustainability, we will share in whatever upside there is to sustain the mission.
But when you say share the risk, you mean help fund it by buying it? I mean, what's the risk involved?
The risk is in the cost of producing it on a day-to-day basis, the expense that's associated.
So, John Boland is. I mean, KQED hasn't decided yet if it's going to air this. What are the considerations, and do you see it as kind of a risk to be involved in, you know, helping to fund it?
Well, I think that, you know, any new program is a risk, and any time you take a program nationally, as Day to Day was at the time that came out. I think what we're going to be looking at, as I said earlier, is what are our listeners looking for at that time of the day, and also understanding that Talk of the Nation was fed live, meaning it was broadcast live from Washington between 11 and 1 our Pacific Coast time. This new program, Here and Now, new to the national schedule, actually broadcasts between 9 and 11 a.m., exactly the hours that we're on right now with Forum, but it can be broadcast and is kept up to date news-wise for a couple hours longer. So that'll also be a consideration for us.
So, Kinsey, are there going to be phone calls to Here and Now?
No, it won't be a call-in show. But as John says, it will be updated just as Morning Edition, for example, is broadcast from 5 to 7 a.m. Eastern. In other words, its original broadcast on the West Coast is at 2 a.m. in the morning, but it is constantly updated, and the studio is hot. That is, we have hosts in the studio all the way until noon Eastern or 9 a.m. Pacific time. And so we're going to apply the same sort of standards to this so that we can keep it effectively live for a period of 4 hours.
And how much of this is driven by the desire to get younger audiences listening to NPR and public radio in general? Because as we know, they're listening on their mobile devices and in ways other than turning on the radio. Talk of the Nation doesn't really lend itself to that very well, whereas Here and Now might, as Morning Edition and All Things Considered do.
It's a good point. I mean, the biggest demographic differences that we see are not in the appeal of the programming per se, but in the devices that people use to get access to the programs. And if you talk to people in their 20s, it's the rare person that we run into that actually listens to NPR or member station programming on the radio. They tend to get at it through mobile devices, as you say. And this kind of program, which is broken up at the story level, if you will, is a little more portable, a little more suitable to an on-demand environment where you have some choice as to what you're tuning into and listen to, and has a little more shelf life. So we see it as both having very strong appeal in broadcast, where our audience, the preponderance of our audience, still tunes in, and which we expect to remain strong for a long time, but also on emerging mobile devices, which are becoming an increasingly important sort of vehicle for listening.
And I know you need to go, but Science Friday will continue, is that correct?
It will continue, and it'll be in its usual, on the West Coast, 11 to 1 p.m. spot on Fridays.
Does that create sort of a programming challenge, John Boland, for stations that might want to carry Here and Now and Science Friday, or I guess you...
It would mean that on Fridays you'd either carry Science Friday or you'd look at a different time slot for Science Friday altogether. But there again, you've got a live call-in show, so
different
animal. It's difficult.
Yeah. All right. Well, Kinsey Wilson, thanks so much for joining us, and obviously we'll be following this as it comes to fruition July 1st.
Great. Thank you.
Thanks very much. Let's read some email here. We've got some reaction from our listeners this morning. Richard writes, canceling Talk of the Nation strikes me as another major step in NPR's recent dumbing down of content for key programs like All Things Considered and Morning Edition. Both have become too chatty with shorter, shallower, too often silly stories. The newly announced afternoon program sounds headed in the same disappointing direction. Talk of the Nation's serious, in-depth focus is what much of NPR should be about, to distinguish it from pop news and information. And then it looks like Sandy writes, in reference to Kinsey Wilson's remarks regarding the cancellation of Talk of the Nation, to make sure there is an intentionality about what we do, that everything is done for a purpose and is distinctive. Increasingly, NPR is losing the voice of the public. One never hears commentaries from listeners anymore on All Things Considered or Morning Edition. And then another listener, Beth, writes, my question is why some show from Boston in place of Talk of the Nation? And let me ask you about that, John Boland, because, Day to Day had more of a West Coast sensibility. It was produced out of Los Angeles. This is another show produced on the East Coast. How concerned are you about having a program, another program, that maybe has a different sensibility than our listeners have or would like to hear?
That's something we're going to have to consider. I think I believe that the concept of working with a member station is great. And we know that NPR doesn't have as many programs working with member stations as they might. So I think that's a move in the right direction. But we will need to look at both the time difference. Even if you're doing more in-depth news stories, both the time difference, depending on when we would air the show, if we air it, and then also the fact that it's coming from the East Coast. The challenge with day-to-day at the time, and KQED attempted to try to accommodate that program on our schedule, was that Talk of the Nation was still on the air. Day-to-day was in the same time slot, so it was really an either-or. and it was very difficult for our listeners to choose.
And I think we ended up airing it at like 11 at night, didn't we?
I think we may have ended up airing a repeat of it, but initially for a week or more, we aired it in its actual time slot and took Talk of the Nation off, which did not meet with
I remember
a good response.
That. Yeah. People don't like change.
Right.
Listeners often don't like, no, they get over it. I mean, you remember what happened when Bob Edwards left Morning
right.
Edition. People, you know, adjust and, you know, get beyond it.
Yeah. And that is the one, I think, silver lining in this is that this does create an opportunity. It's very hard to make change in the KQED public radio schedule because every minute of the day has fans and listeners who really want to hear that programming at that time. And so a move like this on NPR's part really opens things up a little bit for us to think about this rare opportunity with 2 hours and the schedule open. What should we be doing? Should there be any other changes? And that's very much what we want to hear from the listeners about.
On the other end, by the way, you can weigh in on that at kqed.org/forum, and we may open it up on our Facebook page as well. And also, of course, right now this morning, if you want to comment, 866-733-6786 is the number to call, 866-733-6786. You can also email us. It's forum@kqed.org. The timing of this, I mean, as you well know, you say this is an opportunity perhaps to do something produced locally or produced maybe with other stations in California. And yet those things, the pipeline is a long pipeline. We have till the end of June basically to make a decision because that's when Talk of the Nation goes away. Could you foresee carrying Here and Now for a while something else is in the pipeline? I mean, is that a possibility?
I think, you know, those are all possibilities. And I think it's entirely possible given that June will be here much more quickly than we think. And we usually settle program schedules. It's actually July 1st this change will happen. We would settle program schedules for July at some point in May. So, and it's now April. So there could easily be a two-step process.
Could the timing have been better?
You can always use more time. I understand the timing, though, and I understand what Kinsey's saying. We work with NPR a lot, and we work in consultation with them a lot. And what we're all seeing is people using the service, if you will, the KQED public radio service, the NPR service, in a different way and not listening to it on a typical radio, not necessarily listening to it in real time. And when you think about that trend continuing and growing, you say to yourself, well, a live call-in show has the least appeal that kind of an environment.
And the shortest shelf life.
Right. Interestingly, though, if you have a program like Forum, which we're on right now, it's a combination. So it's a little bit heavier on the interviews and the story than Talk of the Nation, and a little bit later on the call-in portion. And as you know, Forum is a very popular podcast, so people do time shift this program and listen to it the next day or the next week.
And shows like Fresh Air, same thing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And but even with our live call-in, Forum, you know, stands the test.
That's John Boland, president and CEO of KQED Public Media. He's with us for the rest of this hour. And let me bring in a couple of other guests right now. Tom Rosensteel is executive director of the American Press Institute. He joins us this morning from, are you in Washington, Tom?
I am. Good to be with you.
Good to have you. Also joining us from Washington, Mark Jerkowitz, associate director of the Pew Research Center's Project for Excellence in Journalism. He's also co-author of The State of the News Media 2013, reported by Pew Research. Good to have you here as well.
Good morning, Scott.
Mark, let me ask you, how does this announcement by NPR, how does it fit in with other trends that you're seeing in the media?
Well, I'm not sure that it does fit in with other trends we see in the media other than, I mean, this is an iconic program, obviously. And I think there are going to be a lot of people who are going to be upset about it. If there is a trend that we could talk about here is in the State of the New Media Report, you know, we indicated that obviously NPR is looking for new revenue streams, and frankly, they're making significant advancements on the mobile side. And they're also looking to cut costs because, according to their own internal accounting, they ran at an operational deficit of about $5 million last year. So while no one would suggest that you know, this wasn't driven largely by content or programming decisions. Clearly, there was an economic component to that as well. And I think that and we heard it discussed in terms of sharing the risk and sharing the investment here. And I think they, like everybody else, is sort of struggling with revenue models and new ways of thinking about business in this age.
Tom Rosenstiel, what would you add to that?
Well, in one way, NPR is quite different than the rest of the media in that the real crisis facing traditional media sources is the collapse of the advertising model, and NPR doesn't operate by that model. In fact, a lot of media are shifting more toward asking consumers to pay directly for the product, with online subscriptions, with donations, and that actually is the model that NPR has relied on more heavily. But in another way, NPR is facing the same problem as all media, and that is as the number of sources grow that are vying for people's attention, it's just harder to command audience. There's only so much attention out there, and there's a proliferating number of outlets. And in this instance, I think one dimension that's maybe overlooked is that the new program that will replace Talk of the Nation is more of a reported magazine and less of a talk show. And one of the things that is overcrowded in the marketplace now is talk. So in theory, this could be NPR moving closer to distinguishing itself with the brand that people know it for, which is storytelling, reported storytelling, and moving somewhat away from the brand that everyone else is also known for, which is talk.
Although, John Boland, those programs are more expensive to produce, aren't they? Because you've got more reporters. I mean, if you've got, for a call-in show like this, you have producers and a host, but by and large, it's driven by the guests and the callers. Not so with a magazine show like Morning Edition or All Things Considered or Here and Now.
Right. Generally, you're drawing on an entire news operation for those programs. And I assume that the addition of NPR to the mix with WBUR really brings more resources of that kind, more reporting strength worldwide to feed that show.
Yeah. Both of you guys, Mark and Tom, are on the East Coast, and we were talking earlier, I don't know if you were listening, but about so many of the news programs being produced either in Washington, New York, or now Boston as well. Let me just ask you, Tom, do you see any sort of a East Coast bias, if that's the right word, or just in terms of a perspective that, perhaps would be healthy to get away from a little bit and to have more programs produced in other places?
Yes, 'twas ever thus. The San Francisco native and a veteran of papers like the Los Angeles Times and the defunct Peninsula Times Tribune in Palo Alto. That has long been a problem I think makes listeners on the West Coast or audiences on the West Coast kind of wonder whether they've been ignored. And it's interesting that shift in access that we've seen in business and technology has not really been reflected as fully in media.
Yeah,
there's a fair amount of media produced out of L.A., but that's not where the technological energy of the country is.
Hold it right there. We're going to take a short break. Give us a call and let us know what you think. 866-733-6786 is the number. 866-733-6786. And as always, you can email us. It's forum@kqed.org. We're talking about NPR's decision to cancel Talk of the Nation and what comes next and what it says about the state of the media. I'm Scott Schaefer, here today for Michael Krasny. Stay with us. And welcome back to Forum. I'm Scott Schaefer, and today for Michael Krasny, we're talking this hour about NPR's Talk of the Nation, announced last week it's going to be canceled. We'll end at the end of June and be replaced by Here and Now, an expanded version of that program produced by WBUR in Boston. Joining us to talk about that, John Bolin, President and CEO of KQED Public Media. Also with us, Tom Rosensteel, Executive Director of the American Press Institute, and Mark Jerkowitz, Associate Director of Pew's Research Center, the Project for Excellence in Journalism. Both of them join us from Washington. Let's go to the phones now and start off in Santa Clara. Tina is on the line. Welcome.
Hi. Yeah, I am so glad you're having this program. Honestly, I cannot think of a worse decision that NPR could be making. And I don't know if it's because of just KQED programming, but I don't know where all the talk shows they're talking about are because, you know, we have 6 hours in the morning of the news magazine. We have, you know, the World for News. We have an hour and a half of around that of All Things Considered. And then we play it again at midnight. So, I mean, honestly, to put another news magazine on would make me want to slip my wrists. I mean,
don't do that.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, please don't do that. And I wish that NPR president was still on. You know, 4 hours of Forum. I mean, I can't get enough Forum and fresh air, to tell you the truth. So they're just shallow. They're shallow programs. Mm. I mean, I know maybe people driving home might enjoy listening to them, but people that really listen to NPR and, you know, the in-depth stuff is what we want, you know?
Yeah. Let me ask Mark Jerkowitz, you know, this the push toward more sort of modules of news that can be downloaded or podcasts, that kind of thing. I mean, do you have a sense that it's part of an overall, I don't want to say dumbing down, but just a more streamlined version of the news? Is there less of an appetite out there or less of a desire to produce in-depth, longer-form news coverage?
You know, I don't think so. for all that the digital age has brought about, I think the sort of the ringing of the death knell for deeper content is probably premature and a little misplaced at this point. Now, that's not to say that, you know, certain in individual cases or with certain media outlets, the attempt to gain digital eyeballs hasn't changed the way they've looked at news and content. But, for example, one of the things that we talk about now is sort of the dramatic growth in mobile device use. And that includes, obviously, very quick growth of tablets. Well, there's now kind of a feeling that the tablet could be a very good platform for the kind of longer-form journalism that only 2 or 3 years ago we were talking about, frankly, you know, seeing vanish to some degree.
Why the tablet? What is it about the tablet that makes it so?
Well, I think it's the reading experience. We have survey data showing that people like to engage that way with longer form news. The bigger threat, I think, in terms of content that people should worry about who care about the news industry, it are the reduced reporting resources. And that was one of the key findings in our State of the News Media report. We have had years and years and years of cutbacks, staffing resources dwindling. We've seen it most dramatically in the newspaper sector, but we've seen it elsewhere. And we, in our report, you know, suggest that there are now some tangible signs that it's having an impact on public perceptions about news, and that it's having an impact on the quality of news.
So, less investigative coverage.
Less of the expensive journalism that costs money, which is investigative units, which are foreign bureaus, which are training specialists in things like health and science. And frankly, sort of less time for individual journalists to do the vetting of claims and charges and assertions that come from newsmakers on a daily basis.
Yeah.
So I think that may be the more systemic problem when it comes to content.
Yeah. Tina, thanks for the call. And I should have you know, and everyone, we've gotten a lot of emails, and they're overwhelmingly opposed to this decision. We're getting a ton of them. So we won't read them all. We'll read some of them. But, Tina, you're certainly not alone. So.
Yeah, well, I podcast Forum, you know, to learn things. I don't podcast the magazine shows. So
yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. Thanks very much for the call. John Bolin, one of the things that occurs to me is, you know, Mark was just talking about the need for, you know, the declining resources. And I know that NPR has said that it's going to try to find jobs for all the staff that's currently on Talk of the Nation, but those folks are mostly producers. They're not reporters. And I'm wondering, how do you fill 2 hours of a news magazine without more journalists?
Well, I think
I know that's not really a question for you.
Yeah,
that's a question for NPR. But
I think it's to some extent tapping into the existing journalism crew network that NPR has. So I don't know that when they said they're going to find jobs for the folks who are on Talk of the Nation now, I don't know whether it's specifically with Here and Now rather in other parts of NPR.
But at the same time, maybe I'll ask you, Tom Rosenstiel, to what extent are journalists already feeling that they're kind of stretched? I mean, you know, John just said maybe these reporters who file for Morning Edition and All Things Considered will also file for Here and Now, but they're also tweeting, they're blogging, they're doing two ways in the middle of the day sometimes. I mean, to what extent are journalists feeling a little bit, you know, stretched in some cases?
Well, I think there's a paradox here. I mean, journalists are much more connected to their audience. They can be brands unto themselves to a much greater degree. Their identities are not as tied to institutions because of the networked media ecosystem. But the decline in revenue, which is partly due to the collapse in advertising and partly due to fragmented audiences, means that newsrooms are smaller. Almost everywhere, newsrooms are smaller. Newspaper newsrooms are about 30% smaller in the last decade. Television newsrooms, network television newsrooms, are half the size they once were. And the technology that is causing this disruption also puts more demands on your time. So you're stretched because you may need to tweet this story, you may need to post something quickly. You could essentially post all day long and never really have time to report. So time management has become an enormous mystery and challenge for news people. It's an oversimplification to simply say we're now stretched, because you also have the ability to get information more easily coming at you, to synthesize things. It's certainly more complicated, and some element of being a reporter now is receiving information that's coming at you and trying to synthesize it, as opposed to proactively going out and asking your questions. And that difference means that reporters are often reacting to public relations people and talking points and the messaging of other people, rather than going out and trying to answer questions that they think the public would like to know.
And to do that well, you've got to have, you know, good judgment, right? You have to be able to analyze whether something's accurate, or does it make sense? What's wrong with this picture, kind of thing?
Right. I think we all feel this in our lives, whether we're reporters or not. How many emails do you get in a day? Everyone's feeling like they're never not at work. The burden on them is sort of pressing, because you could be doing something constantly. Actually, you could probably be doing four things constantly.
Yeah. John Boland?
And I agree with Tom, but the situation at KQED and a number of other public media organizations is somewhat different in that, yes, our reporters are also stretched for a lot of the same reasons, the way that technology and communications have changed. But the other thing that's different is our newsroom is actually larger than it was 3 years ago. So as the newspapers have been cutting back, and now the commercial television and radio stations have been cutting back on regional coverage of the Bay Area, we've actually been increasing coverage and adding staff, and that's been because the community has supported that. But we're still stretched, because even the growth of our newsroom has not gotten it to a size where we can truly cover the Bay Area the way we'd like to.
Well, and most of the growth has been for online staff, right?
Both online and radio.
Yep. Yeah. And how do you see that balance going forward?
Well, I think we're going to think of it in an agnostic way. Yeah, we're going to think of reporting staff as reporting staff, and whether their stories end up on
which platform,
radio or on television or on mobile or social or on the internet, it's still the story.
Yeah. Got a lot of email here. One from Catherine, who writes, "I'm shocked and stunned. Talk of the Nation is the only program that airs national voices in a national dialogue, something that this fragmented, divided, and only listen to people who agree with you." I'm missing words here, but our culture so sorely needs. I think this is a huge mistake on the part of NPR. Also, what will happen to the political junkie? This is the broadest and best political coverage available on radio. And I know, John Bolin, that is a very popular segment, Ken Rudin.
Absolutely. And that's a very good point.
And it could become part of Here and Now, I suppose.
About the national conversation.
Yeah. And Jim writes, though a national call-in talk show is interesting, it did not add to KQED's programming in particular. I've always wished the KQED would drop this show and replace it with more compelling programming. He mentions KCRW in Los Angeles, for example. Music programming aside, they fill the afternoon with a great variety of locally produced programming. Let's go to the phones. Bill is on the line from Daly City. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. I'm a longtime listener to Talk of the Nation, but for one, I'm not sorry the program and Neil Conan are leaving the schedule. What I liked was hearing the thoughts and opinions of the guests, but I often found that Mr. Conan inserted his own opinions into the interviews instead of drawing on the expertise of his guests. For me, the program was becoming more like the Neil Conan show instead of Talk of the Nation, with him dominating the interview occasionally, interrupting his guests at times, and making some not always well-informed comments instead of listening and learning and allowing the audience to do the same.
Yeah, thanks for your comments. And Mark Jerquez, let me ask you about that balance between opinion and reporting and analysis. I mean, it's kind of a spectrum there. Do you think that there's a hunger out there for more or less opinion?
Well, opinion's often in the eye of the beholder. That perception is kind of hard to control. We have seen data and survey results that have consistently said that, you know, the American public want objective news. They want news reported in a straightforward fashion, which, of course, was the news model in the last half of the 20th century when, you know, news outlets and organizations basically told the American people, we will play it straight on our news pages. Now, we live in an era, obviously, in which you have on-demand opinion, and you have on-demand opinion that can easily validate your philosophy and your ideology that it may be very tempting to stick with on a regular basis. So, you know, human nature being what it is, we, you know, always want people to sort of, you know, have all the four food groups. And while no one's suggesting no one partake of opinion in this particular era, it would, you know, there is certainly going to be a temptation to sort of cocoon yourself in many respects with the kinds of news organizations that sort of reflect your own views and values. Now, I think NPR, you know, in general, has done a very good job of sort of, you know, maintaining that above the fray kind of voice of authority, which I think is one of the strengths.
But
just radio is a personality-driven medium. Inflection, there's nothing that doesn't sort of send subjective signals to listeners.
Yeah. And John Bolin, I think anyone who's on the air 2 hours a day is going to have their fans and their detractors. I mean, it's just inevitable.
Yeah,
you're sort of overexposed in a way. You know, your flaws and your strengths are going to become obvious.
Absolutely. And also, I think that if you look at survey data generally, public media, both public television and public radio, have a great deal of trust in terms of impartiality. And I think that certainly extends to NPR.
Some of our listeners are weighing in with suggestions and comments. We've got a comment here from Nora who writes, "What do I want to hear? Talk of the Nation. The public of public radio gets an opportunity to hear the nation. I think a 3 million large audience speaks for itself." Doug writes, "I'll miss Talk of the Nation, but I found Tell Me More from NPR.org, and I love it. It's not as long as Talk of the Nation, but it's a really great show." Andrew writes, "Can we get the Diane Rehm show broadcast in that time slot? Certainly addresses the other comments' depth complaint." That's a program out of WAMU, Diane Rehm, a longtime talk show host and beloved by many, John.
Yeah, and actually this is interesting because it's showing the variety of options that are out there. Tell Me More and Diane Rehm are both also East Coast, but very, very good programs. So there's a lot of possibilities ranging from Here and Now to one of the other programs available in public radio to something we might produce here in the Bay Area.
What are the trade-offs about that, doing something local versus, you know, investing in a program that's produced somewhere else?
It's a matter. Well, it's more expensive to produce something local because you don't have the shared cost of all the other stations supporting it. But it's a matter of balance of what we have on the air. I think one of our earlier callers was concerned that the Here and Now program would come in with short pieces and that they wouldn't have the depth. And we certainly also find when we talk to people in the community, including younger people in their 20s, that they are looking for depth and context from KQED and from NPR. And I think that's where NPR is going with Here and Now, is actually longer stories that are what are currently in the news magazine. So the question would be, is that what our communities looking for? And if so, are they looking for more in-depth reporting, for example, on regional issues, local, national, international?
Or some combination. All right, back to the phones. Joe is on the line in San Francisco. Welcome.
Yes, two quick points. One is, NPR is a member-based organization. And I find this top-down decision without any involvement of the members, the ones who are paying the freight, to be really outrageous. That's point number one. Point number two, there are millions and millions of Americans who like the talk show format. Not all Americans, but millions that do. Most of the nation, the only talk radio they have is sports talk and extreme right-wing talk radio. This is going to take this wonderful program away from them. Even in the Bay Area, most talk radio, political talk radio, is extreme right-wing, even in San Francisco.
Yeah. John Boland, what about that top-down decision criticism? I mean, I know that KQED found out about this pretty much when everyone else did, although NPR said they had been – this is what member stations said they wanted. So I don't – that's sort
of
a contradiction.
Well, you know, we're in constant consultation with NPR. We work closely with them. So they're always asking us how things are working for the audience here in the Bay Area, what we'd like to see more of, what we'd like to see less of. There wasn't consultation specifically around this decision. But to tell you the truth, having been the chief content officer of the PBS network in Washington myself, it's very hard to make programming decisions
by committee,
by consulting hundreds of stations, because your decision sort of gets made before you really have, you know, all the information. So it doesn't surprise me that a decision like that would need to be made in one fell swoop.
Yeah. 866-733-6786, the number to call, 866-733-6786, if you want to weigh in on this. Tom Rosensteel, what are your thoughts about what the last caller was mentioning, this notion of, you know, Talk of the Nation is a national platform to hear what people around the country have to say about different topics. Although, you know, you could say that the NPR audience isn't necessarily a broad cross-section of people politically, but nonetheless, you do get to hear what people in other parts of the states hear. What's lost by canceling a program like Talk of the Nation in that regard?
Well, you know, it is true that while talk is everywhere, in-depth, contemplative, balanced talk that is trying to seek out all sides and trying to come to understanding, that may be more unusual. I think that it's pretty clear that much of the of talk radio is what I have called in the past a journalism of affirmation. It's a host who's talking. The attraction to the audience is their preconceptions about things are sort of reaffirmed. It's a kind of comfort food. The approach that public radio has taken with its talk shows has, I think, been different. It is true that the audience for public radio skews more liberal than the population overall, but actually its audience is less purely political or less partisan on one side than is true of the cable channels today and a lot of other media. There's a kind of a bipartisan quality to NPR, more than many people would expect. And the reason for that, I think, is that people are captive in their cars more of the day. Commute times are longer. And NPR has had the benefit over the last 20 years of becoming something of an island of news on the radio. There are only 30 commercial all-news stations left in the United States. So in many parts of the country, if you're in the car and you want news, not talk, NPR is your only option. And I think that may be, again, one of the reasons that reported stories in a magazine were more appealing for NPR, along with the obvious cost-sharing that we've talked about.
Right. Let's go back to the phones now. David is on the line in San Francisco. Hi, David.
Hi. I'm a longtime KQED funder and NPR, and I think I'll have to rethink that. You know, we have a powerhouse station like KQED. We're told that it hadn't been consulted on a program that's so East Coast-centric. We have a new and newly built large West Coast hub down south, and it's not being utilized. There's not a conversational show that will take its place. Political Junkie will be lost. There's a problem with not hearing voices in America. And I'm appalled that that there is no consultation on this, that KQED was taken by surprise. Even KQED, which is a forum, this program, is rebroadcast, so there's not a problem with podcasting this. And I think I'll be looking, along with others, at online petitions to bring this show back.
Well, there is a Facebook page, Save Talk of the Nation. So you can find
it. It's amazing. It's amazing.
Yeah. All right, David, thanks very much for the call. John Boland, you know, how concerned are you? I mean, I think KQED had the largest Talk of the Nation audience of any station in the country. Is that right? Of course,
yeah.
We have a large audience generally. But.
Yeah, we did. And that kind of follows a pattern. KQED has the largest audience of any public radio station in the country and the largest audience of any radio station in the Bay Area. So I think that is a factor. Certainly, the audience for Talk of the Nation on KQED was significant, but nowhere near the kind of audience for Morning Edition or All Things Considered or some of the other programs.
Let's read some more email here. Chris writes, Talk of the Nation seemed to become more and more AM radio-like over the years. I was always dismayed to find it on when I had a chance to turn on the radio. The other programs are such high quality, Fresh Air, Radio Lab, This American Life, that there's really no comparison. And Glenn writes, I think the main advantage of Talk of the Nation that few radio shows do is that it takes time to drill down into a specific topic. Few other shows that do this include Frontline and Bill Moyers on PBS TV. Like to add Forum to that, maybe.
Yeah.
And then another email here from Joseph, who writes, NPR has made a huge blunder here, and I certainly hope the fellow Talk of the Nation devotees will make their voices heard. I love beginning my day with Morning Edition and ending it with All Things Considered, but I don't need a similar program to fill up the middle of the day. Let's go back to the phones and to El Cerrito. Mary is on the line. Welcome. Hi, Mary.
Hi. I've been on the line quite a while, and many of my comments have been made by other listeners. I'm very dismayed as well. I really liked the in-depth working on the topic with Neil Conan and the nationwide and really broad spectrum of just a lot of times I felt fact in representing a lot of different people's opinions. I'm very also dismayed that KQED wasn't consulted about this. I've been a member for 20 years plus and a generous one. So I am wondering why we're worried about the people in their 20s, trying to satisfy them with more shorter programming when it's really the long shows like the podcast of Fresh Air.
Yeah, let me just bring – we're short on time. I apologize for interrupting you, Mary. But John Boland, I mean, is that what you see happening here?
I don't think so. I think it has less to do with the age of the listeners than the way in which they're listening, and that's happening with all listeners. And I think that the interesting thing that Kinsey Wilson from NPR mentioned earlier in the program is that they're actually looking at longer stories – not shorter stories. So it may not be as disappointing to this listener as she might think.
Mary, thanks for the call. Mark Jerkowitz, we haven't talked about television, public or otherwise, but I know that in your report, Pew's report, these are tough times for local television for sure. And I assume that's true for public television as well.
Well, again, public television is to local television kind of what NPR is to local radio. So there's, you know, there are some significant differences. Particularly, what we're seeing in local television news is the kind of things that don't really translate to public television. Yes, the audience numbers are down, and that's dismaying. The economic model is increasingly based on every 4 years, billions of dollars pouring into the coffers of local television news. But on the content side, on local television news, for example, one of the things we saw is the increasing growth in things like sports, traffic, and weather, which obviously is not that kind of an issue for public television. And the problem with that is it's cutting into the time for other stories. And that's the kind of information that is available on demand on so many different platforms now. So one of the things we do tee up in our report is the idea that it may now be the local television news, commercial television news sector that is looking sort of heading into the choppy waters that the newspaper industry has been swimming in for the last decade or so. One other point I'd like to make very quickly, which is as Tom is from Northern California, I spent a good part of my career in Boston. And I was at the Boston Globe and actually spent a lot of time covering WBUR. The one thing I think I can tell your listeners, if they don't already know, is that this is a place that is known for quality and known for smart decision making and known for good reporting. So, you know, the BUR brand should be some cause for hope, I think, for people out there who are unhappy now.
John Bolin, short on time, but just for our listeners' sake, tell us what the process is going to be here at KQED to decide what replaces Talk of the Nation.
Well, we're going to first be listening to listeners. So we would like to hear from listeners either by phone or by going to the comments section on the forum page on KQED.org.
Got a lot of email here for I can give you.
Okay. Or by going to KQED's Facebook page, because we'd like to get an idea of during that time of the day when Talk of the Nation will disappear, what would best serve your needs.
All right. John Bolin, President and CEO of KQED Public Media. Thanks so much to you for being here this hour. Thanks also to Tom Rosensteel from the American Press Institute and Mark Jerkowitz from Pew Research's Center, the Project for Excellence in Journalism. Thanks to all of you. And thanks so much to all of our listeners as well for the email and calls this morning. Forum is produced by Judy Campbell, Irene Noguchi, Susan Britton, and Tina Lauerberg. Our engineer is Danny Bringer. Our engagement producer is Amanda Stupai, with online support from David Marks. Our senior editor is Dan Zoll, and our executive producer is Raul Ramirez. For all of us here at KQED, I'm Scott Schaefer.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation, and by a generous gift from Jan Schrem and Maria Minetti Schrem, who believe that all people deserve access to education, information, and culture for a lifetime of exploration and learning.